Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, welcome into Jaguars Today. Damn it, I get to stop talking about the baseball playoffs now that Jaguars Today has begun. So I will shut up and we'll move on.
They've been good, but we can move on.
I don't know, have they? Okay.
They've been really good.
I'll take your word for it. I saw maybe two innings last night because there's nothing on Tuesday. I've given up on the bastard executioner after about a month.
You're over it?
Just whatever. It was good for about an episode and a half, and now it's just whatever. Don't care. All right, moving on. Jags talk today. If you want to get in, 641-1010. And you know the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. It was pretty active yesterday, let me just say.
Yeah.
As was the Twitter yesterday. And you're welcome to weigh in on any aspect of Jaguar football. But today, we're looking for some solutions. What's the thing that's missing to you as you put together this recipe for successful football, or at least you attempt to here in Jacksonville? What is the big missing ingredient to you? And I, you know, we've already had, you try to phrase a question so the smart ass responses are kept to a minimum, yet it's impossible to because people ignore the way you word things and they will give you the smart ass answer anyway. And the way we phrased it today was, what is the biggest thing that's missing in the Jaguars' quest for more wins? And of course, two of the first responses you got were wins. Very brilliant of you. Absolutely brilliant way to add something meaningful to the conversation. But what is the missing ingredient? Is it personnel? Is it a specific position? Is it a lack of production in a particular area? Is it a better game plan? Is it, you know, a coach who knows what he's doing? I don't know what you feel. So tell us, and I'll tell you this, of the people who legitimately tried to answer the question today, it has been such a wide variety of answers that it's a little disturbing that you can point to so many things that people think are the most important missing ingredient of this football team that is now 1-4 in year three of the Gus Bradley tenure here in Jacksonville. So share your thoughts with us on that. And, we'll see where that takes you today. And we'll take your calls on that. We'll take your tweets on that. And we'll take your texts on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line at 641-1010. You can tweet us today at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL. Fat Tony, we hope to have Johnny O stopping by for a little Oh No's segment coming up in about 30 minutes or so. Also, Dr. Stephen Lucy from Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute coming by later on with your weekly injury report. And we can hopefully, if not get some specifics about Blake Bortles and the shoulder injury, get some generalities about the dealing with that injury and having to go out there and play a football game where that's impacting you on your throwing shoulder. So we'll get to that coming up a little bit later on today as well. How did the Fat Tony show go last night?
It was fun.
Is that a new shirt you're wearing, by the way?
It's a green shirt.
I know it's a green shirt.
I don't know how new it is.
I just haven't seen it before.
Yeah, it's just a golf shirt.
All right.
It's a nice shirt.
It's fine.
It's comfortable.
I just never seen it.
It's comfortable. Don't come over here and try to touch it or anything like Hacker.
What are you talking about?
I got used to doing shows with Hacker where he would tell me this was a nice shirt and then want to touch it.
I didn't even say it was nice in particular.
I'm not comfortable with that level, okay?
All right.
I appreciate you recognizing that it's a different shirt than I usually wear. Look, the show last night went well and had fun. Monday and Tuesday wasn't enough to get everything off my chest when it came to the Jaguars from the past couple of weeks, so it's nice to have an opportunity on Tuesday nights to get a little bit more of that venom out of me and whatever stuck inside. So that's nice, and got to talk a little bit about some college football, too, with Nick Chubb. Did you watch any of Tennessee, Georgia?
No.
No? Because they paraded Nick Chubb around with that broken leg, like crazy on the sideline. It just drove me nuts the way that they treated him on the sideline of that game. So got to talk about that a little bit last night too.
No, if I were to talk about college football, I would talk about how apparently anyone who steps away in the middle of the season is deemed a quitter except Steve Spurrier. But I digress. All right. So let's move off of that and we'll get to Jaguar football coming up. 641-1010 if you'd like to get in today, either on the phone lines or the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line, and share with us your thought today. What is the single biggest missing ingredient as the Jaguars try to put together the recipe that will lead ultimately to more victories for this team? Share your thoughts with us. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Glad you're along with us, Jaguars, today, live from Everbank on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
Well, I played against them last year, and they gave us a hell of a game last year. We actually lost to them. With those guys up front, they're really the anchor of that defense, and they make it hard for you to run the ball. They make it hard for you to pass the ball, and they're doing a great job. You can tell their coach very well, Coach Bradley, and their defensive coordinator. They have them; those guys really coached, really well. I thought last year when I played against them, they were one of the best defenses we played against, and so it'll definitely be a challenge for us, and we got to have our best week of preparation yet.
Right now, don't you want to hope if the Jags are somehow able to get within the vicinity of Brian Hoyer and they could actually sack him and bring him to the ground, someone would go, Bob Babich, beep! He clearly didn't know Gus Bradley and their
coach.
The guy who coaches the defense.
They're a coach really well. Best so for all team. You guys questioning the coaching, Brian Hoyer says you're a fool
Hoyer
for questioning
on
these
there
coaches.
Yesterday, of course, he did lead a loss.
Yeah,
they played horrible football last year. He did in particular, and I'm sure the Jags had an impact on that, but. That front is not the same right now without Cedric Marks in there. And, I don't know if it's all him. I don't know if it's, age advancing on Chris Clemens. And, he's been mostly ineffective this year. Andre Branch, will flash and get a good rush and then not be able to complete the play. And, I don't know. I don't know if it's one thing. It's probably a combination. Typically is a combination of these different things, but they're clearly not playing as well up front. A lot of people already today are suggesting pass rush is the single biggest missing ingredient to the Jags' quest to win more games this year. And
I would tend to agree with that.
I don't think it's that, but I'll wait until later on in the show, although it has to do with a lot of different elements of the football team, the thing I'm thinking of. Certainly share your thoughts with us on that. I got this. I think we got one of these yesterday, and I just didn't feel yesterday was a good day to go to the text line. So I stayed away from the text line a little bit yesterday, but I thought that this was interesting, but I wanted to address it. Let me see if I can find it here, Tony. Coming in. I don't know if I can find the exact one, but the point was, what do you think about Telvin Smith playing Leo? Because he's fast, they felt he's a bit of a liability in coverage.
I got it if you want it.
Go ahead.
Here's what we got on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. Due to our lack of pass rush, would it be wise to try Telvin at Leo? He needs to be on the field, but his lack of size and struggle in pass coverage has made him a liability at linebacker. His speed should allow him to get around most tackles in the league.
No.
I completely agree.
Yeah, no. I mean, he certainly has got that speed. What he's also got is the body of a small linebacker. Nowhere close to Leo's size. The problem is, those tackles are pretty smart. If all you got speed, they're going to play you for that every time. Who's Telvin Smith going to bull rush? And once an offensive tackle got his hands on Telvin Smith, it'd be over. I mean, for any competent left tackle in the league. Now, could he occasionally make a play on a power move? Get some momentum in there, however the case may be, get a little leverage. Sure, it's possible he could make a few plays.
And they blitz him every now and then.
Sure, blitzing's a different story.
But put him in a position where you're basically asking him to be your fourth down lineman.
Right. To be a primary pass rusher and taking on offensive tackles on a down in, down out basis is not, I don't think, the effective way to do it. Joe Fischel knows how to play the game. He tweets, the biggest thing that's missing right now is the support of a paying customer. Hashtag Jaguars today.
Oh, boy.
Hey, you're allowed to say that phrase today on the program. Paying customer, 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 paying customer. I think I was eight right there. I got a few more saved. Paying customer. Saved up for later. You don't like it? Tough. I mean, that's what a lot of fans are. And, no need to rehash yesterday's program, yet I was heading down that road regardless, it appeared. 641-1010, let's get a couple of calls going, and we will continue along taking a look at your social media interaction with Johnny O, about 15 minutes away, by the way, from Jaguars.com. We'll start with Chris in Mandarin at 641-1010 this morning. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Pretty good, guys. How about yourself?
Great.
To be quite honest with you, because our offense, outside of giving up the off, you know, the sacks on the old line, I think our offense has been looking more explosive than it has in years. Defense, that lack of pass rush, but I think it might be missing pieces. Honestly, I think the missing ingredient is attitude. You know, in the years past, there was fear the D. You know, our defense would get the crowd involved. We routed around that defense when they came out with the all-black jersey. You know, back in the 90s, it was the cardiac cast. They would get your heart pumping because the games would be so close. And they strived off of that. There was an attitude about the team. I don't see an attitude with this team. I don't see a defined Tom Brady, Phillip Rivers, a guy that's going to go out there and command and have a strong attitude and show, this is what we've got to do. Let's make this stop. Let's get this pass. Let's get this first down. Let's get this. I don't see that strong attitude out there. I'll take it from there.
All right. Thank you, Chris. I think it's difficult to have that until you have some level of success, right? I don't think Tom Brady, to my recollection, now he played well in his first year as a starter. Obviously, took him to the Super Bowl, and they won the Super Bowl. But I don't remember him being nearly as demonstrative as he is now. I mean, when you have young guys, Tony, that haven't had much success at all winning football games in the National Football League, I don't know how much attitude you can have. You know, they had the fear of the D aspect, because you had John Henderson and Marcus Stroud setting the tone in the middle of that defensive line, along with Rob Meyer, every single week yeah. in, week out, for years playing together. And where is that now? No offense to the guys they have now, but it's, you know, Aluwalu and Miller is not nearly as fearsome a combination. I mean, Cinderic Marks, when he was in there, certainly, I thought, gave you, I don't know if an attitude, but an identity a little bit on that defensive line, as he was a guy that wrecked a lot of havoc in the offensive backfield of the opposition. But I don't know. I mean, I understand what they're saying. I mean, you could still, even though you haven't had it, I guess you could exude some of that attitude, but people lead in different ways. I don't think Blake Bortles needs to be a fist-pumping, rah-rah guy. I think he is a passionate guy. I think he cares a lot about what he's doing. But as a quarterback, you have to stay under some semblance of control. We don't know what he's like in the huddle. You know, if he's in there barking at guys like, hey, this is it. We're going down. We're going to stick this in the end zone. Or if it's more business-like. But I do think that the attitude has to flow from better play. Otherwise, it's just hollow until you start having some success.
Well, I think they got guys that have the kind of attitude that the caller was talking about there. I mean, I certainly think Telvin Smith lets you know when he makes a play. I think they have guys that have that kind of attitude. What they don't have on this team is any kind of veteran leadership. And that's something that we've been talking about for, you know, the last couple of years. And the way that they chose to go through this build and put this team together and the guys that they have out there on the field, there's no old guy that they can look to and say, that's who we're following. You know, and when things go bad, this is the guy we're going to look to, especially with Paul Posluszny not able to be out there on the field for the defense. And you could feel his absence with the football team this past Sunday against Tampa Bay, because the run defense just fell apart without Paul Posluszny out there. And listening to Jeff Loggeman yesterday talking about being in the stadium and watching those guys and their problems at times communicating on defense, who needed to be where and what their responsibility was going to be. On offense, they don't have that guy. I mean, it's not even like that guy is hurt. They just don't have that guy right now. And I do think that there is something to saying the attitude for this team isn't there. Well, they haven't won enough to have a winning attitude. And they've had opportunities the last couple weeks to win a couple football games that they haven't won. And you do wonder, with a team this young, what it would feel like and look like for them if they had found ways to beat Indianapolis and beat Tampa Bay, the difference in the way that this team would be carrying themselves right now compared to where they are, having lost those two very winnable football games.
And I'm not saying that the psychology aspect of it doesn't have any impact in sports. It does to some degree, but you can have all that swagger and attitude too, and you still have to continue to come out there and play well. I don't think that enough is alone is enough to get you to play well. But I do think a guy like Marquise Lee has attitude. He's never out there, right? I think if you watch Allen Hurns closely, I think he's got a little bit of an edge to him. If you really watch him closely, he's starting to get that feeling like when he makes a play, like he wants to let you know, I don't think anybody can stop me, and if you keep coming to me, I'm going to continue to make these plays. So maybe we'll see some more of that over the next few weeks if they start to have a little bit more success winning football games. So thank you for the call, Chris. Let's go to James on the west side coming up next here on Jaguars Today. Hi, James. How are you?
Hey, how y'all doing, fellas?
Good.
I just wanted to say I think what's missing is the coaching on the defense. If you look at the defense, we playing too much prevent defense. We got young, flash players. Let them guys blitz and let them guys go out there and make some plays, because that prevents defense. Them offense is just picking us apart.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're not playing prevent defense, but I understand what you're saying. Are they being aggressive enough up front? And quite frankly, I don't know what much more you have to lose, Tony, by not sending the house. Now, they blitzed at times and at times had success. They also gave up that long screen pass play on a blitz. It was a well-timed call. But as Gus Bradley said, it doesn't matter. You should never give up 59 yards or whatever it was on
56
on a little dump down screen pass. Somebody's got to make a play there and stop that guy. Okay, sure, maybe they hit you for a first down, but it shouldn't flip the field entirely.
And what Gus said is they should have got out of the blitz.
Right, they should have checked out of that blitz. They stayed in the blitz, and he said they got a different look from Tampa, and they didn't want Tampa to dictate what they were going to do. Well, sometimes that's just the smart way to do it, especially when it's third and long. You know, force them to check it down in front of you and make the tackle and get off the field. That's another problem. They weren't tackling very well, but they had a myriad of problems going on in that football game. So I wouldn't mind at all seeing them be a little bit more aggressive. I always think, you know, I go back to the game against New England. I know Jeff Logman thought it was a crazy idea to say you should blitz Tom Brady because the numbers say you shouldn't. Well, when you're getting picked apart methodically the way he was doing it to the Jags that day, what do you have to lose? After a certain point, you say, you know what, this is simply not working. And I look, it's not a prevent defense. I can understand why you feel that way and use that term, because you do kind of sit back there when you play a four-man front and don't send a fifth or sixth guy after the quarterback. And if you're not getting there with four, it seems like it's a prevent defense, because quarterback can stand back there all day until somebody eventually breaks open. And guess what? In the National Football League, someone is always going to eventually break open. Let's go back out to the west side. Morgan is on the west side. What's up, Morgan?
Hey,
how are you?
Pretty good, guys. I just want to make a few comments. I'll take it off the air. First off, in reference to the John Henderson and Marcus Stroud teams, I believe those teams are 51-17 score better than this team today. Also, Gus Bradley, I was his biggest critic. The guy needed to do this and do this. But, I'm going to pump the brakes on Gus a little bit. The last couple of weeks, his post-game press conferences have been something as a fan that I want to hear. You know, he's made accountability seem a little more important to these guys. I mean, so I think, you know, we're a couple plays away from a better record. Let's see how it plays out for the rest of the year. I do believe the Jaguars are an improved football team. They're not where maybe everybody thought they would be, but let's just give them some time and we'll see how it goes.
All right, thank you, Morgan. Hey, look, I'm sure the Jag organization loves that attitude.
Well, and I think we both agree, Mike, that he's going to be my gut tells me he's going to be given all of 2015.
I agree.
And we'll see where it winds up at the end of 2015. So for fans out there who want to wait, and I think at some point, it depends really on the outcome of these next two games, but at some point you're going to start asking the question to the fans that are off the Gus bus, it's, can he do anything to get you back? You know, and that's really what this next couple weeks and the rest of the 2015 season are about. Look,
go win five in a row, Tony. Everybody will be
right,
loving Gus Bradley.
Right. And if they find a way to pull off something like that, I think it changes the way that a lot of people feel about Gus Bradley and this football team. It's just hard to imagine that kind of thing happening with what you're seeing right
now. Look, here's the issue. I do think they're improved. And that's part of the frustration, that they are improved, yet they just lost to the team that had the number one pick in the draft, signifying they were the worst team in the National Football League, the team that got blown out at home to the Tennessee Titans, who were the second worst team in the league last year.
And had failures in all three phases.
Yes. And yet, you go down there and they run it down your throat. And, you know, you did some things wonderfully in some areas, but you did enough things terribly in other areas that you can't beat a team that has no business beating you if you've made these improvements, if you've made these strides. And I don't think they have made the strides. I do think they've made the strides. I was going to say that in a convoluted way, but I do think they've made strides. But that's what makes you so frustrated. If you were just like, yeah, you know what, they just don't have the talent, they stink. I think their talent is better. I do.
I do too.
And it's letting, I don't know if it's them or the coaching or a combination, but it's not getting it done when it matters. And that's game day for 3 hours on Sunday against a 40-year-old sick, puking on the sidelines quarterback on a team that we all feel is fairly mediocre without Andrew Luck. And then you lose that, and you follow it up by losing to the team that was the worst team in the league last year and hasn't played all that much better than that in the first month of the season.
Yeah, and it doesn't feel like it's asking all that much for them to have found a way to win both those games. And if they do, they're sitting there at 3-2. They're on top of the AFC South at this point in time. And by the way, they'd be tied for the second wild card spot in the AFC right now. I mean, that's the opportunity that they've blown in the last couple of weeks.
And I got this one in from Casey, who's a loyal listener, tweeter, at Sergeant Rookie on Twitter. It's hard to know what we have when key players are always injured. Sure it is. You know what? The Bucs are start without one of the starting cornerbacks, without two of their starting offensive linemen. Guys are hurt. Guys get hurt. Andrew Luck didn't play in that game against the Jags. You tell me who's the Jaguar more significant than Andrew Luck that they were missing, or how many Jags it would take up to match the significance of Andrew Luck. Imagine if Blake Bortles were out and how you'd feel about that. Oh, yeah, you beat us with our backup. Well, you didn't even beat the Colts with their backup, and that's... I mean, the drop-off from Luck to Hasselbeck at this stage of their careers is a gulf that is just unbelievably wide. So that, again, is where the frustration comes in. 6-4-1-10-10, at least for me, it does. And look, I'm frustrated, too. We're all frustrated. Doesn't make my frustration any more palatable or tangible than yours, whatever. It's just everyone's got their own frustrations and reasons why. But I think for Morgan, he's got a good attitude about it. He sees improvement and, you know, hopefully a brighter future. And that's great. I'm not trying to dissuade anybody from that attitude, man. And, you know, I think Tony and I made it pretty damn clear. You've never heard us once call for Gus Bradley's head. We're not asking him to be fired. The guy is five games into this season. It's going to play out this year. We'll see where the dust settles on that. But at the same time, if I'm one of you out there who feels that way, I do think you can use the 8-29 mark. I'm sorry. Call me crazy for using a coach's record in evaluating him. And you can talk all you like about the conditions in those first 2 years. That was an organizational decision to strip it down to that level. Well, we're 2 years out of that, and it's been told to us that it's been built. Well, now let's see some results. And that's where this frustration is coming in, because the results are in the win-loss column. That's the only place it matters. It's great. You're putting up stats. I love stats. I'm a fantasy guy. I love stats. In the end, if you're just talking about NFL football, it's about standings, not stats, period. Moving on. Johnny O, coming in next. We'll take more of your calls as well. It's 641-1010. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday for all size plumbing jobs, in-home, commercial, industrial, septic systems, you name it. If it has to do with plumbing, Metro Rooter, same-day service, weekends included, the right people with the right equipment, serving Jacksonville since 1978. Visit MetroRooter.com or call 695-1911 for Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor on Jaguars Today here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
It's time for Oh No's with Jaguars.com's John Osher.
Oh No.
Presented by Florida Pump Service on Jaguars Today.
All right, Johnny O is in with us now in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios. Senior writer for Jaguars.com, John Osher. How you doing?
Good. Oh, awesome. Wednesday. Let's go.
Awesome
Oh No's.
Wednesday. A lot of momentum. Things are going in the right direction.
Yeah.
O'Nose
is back.
Things
are looking pretty good for old Johnny F.
Yes, sir. And you look sharp today. Obviously, it's a .com live day.
A little TV today.
For you, what do you got cooking up today?
J.P. Shatterk and I will be talking Jags 11:45. And then I'll be walking down to Blake Bortles. But another note on that, Allen Robinson will be joining J.P. Sometime after I leave. It becomes a fog on that show after I leave.
Yeah, who
I
cares, really?
But Allen Robinson will be on there, and he's, as you know from talking to him, very good interview.
Smart guy.
And always enjoyable to hear him talk about whatever's going on.
By the way, Houston media on the conference call with Gus Bradley moments ago, tweeting out that Gus indicated that Bortles has a chance to actually practice today. It would not ruling him out for practicing. So that's a good sign, certainly.
Sure.
You know,
and you got the feel on Monday. You know, Gus usually, with the exception of Julius Thomas last week, where we really didn't know until the end, you can usually get a pretty good read on whether a guy's playing severity, whatever. And you didn't get the idea that it was going to be anything major with Blake, but we'll see.
Yeah, well, we'll find out if he's out there today. But if he's out there today, that's a tremendous sign.
Sure.
Unless he has some kind of a setback. But I don't think they'd risk it if they felt he was in danger
doing
that. It
doesn't feel like that, though, does it?
Right.
So, we'll see.
Right.
Yeah.
We'll check that out. All right, today, our question today is asking people, what is the biggest single thing that's missing from the team other than wins, John,
sure,
in their quest for wins, as they try to win more games? What is it, whether it's a tangible or intangible kind of thing, if you could narrow it down to your top criticism or top thing that you'd like to see happen, would it be?
I heard you talking about it early, and evidently the fans are all over the board.
They really are.
Which makes sense, because as you go through this season, it's been, for the most part, 3 of 5 games were close losses, or at least competitive fourth quarter, where you could point to something and say, man, if they'd done that, it would have been different. So the easiest one right now is somehow eliminate these mistakes.
Mental mistakes more than
that
anything.
That are going on, but that's too vague. So I would say from the big picture, this sounds weird because they're coming off of a game that they gave up 183 yards rushing. I'm assuming that that's not going to be the trend. So I would still say the biggest thing over these last, 11 games left, I think the run defense will get back to what it was, still pass rush. If when you can't get pressure with four, it really makes you do other things that leave you vulnerable. That affects the pass defense. So it's still that inability to get pressure without having to be creative.
It certainly hurt them this week.
If I'm looking for a core,
right.
There's
but that's the thing. What tops your list? The one thing that tops your list.
It looks like over the last two games, really, they didn't score against Indy, but they moved. So it looks like this team has a chance to be a team that's going to at least move the ball enough to give you hope that they can score points and they can function there. So if that's true, then somehow if somebody can start rushing the passer and getting consistent pressure and not have them have to be so, commit guys and take things away from what you want to do in the back seven, that would be the biggest thing. I don't know that it's realistic to think you're going to pull that out of thin air.
Yeah, where would that come from?
You hope so.
Right.
Sindara getting back, in theory, could help.
I don't think it'll hurt you necessarily.
I think it's going to be a tough ask for him first game back to be all of a sudden a major impact on pass rush.
Well, I'll be surprised if he's a major impact this year.
Yeah.
Quite honestly. And that's not a knock on Derek. That's just the nature of coming back from an ACL. When you're a guy that big, trying to be explosive, your knee may hold up, but do you have the confidence in it? Do you have the muscles built up around it? And I'm sure he's going through all the rehab process to make sure it's in place. But until you're out there game speed, I think there is going to be a several game adjustment period for Derek. I hope I'm wrong.
And as you said, that's not a knock on anything involved with the process.
That's the way it is. Yep.
That's how it is.
That being said, when you look at Dante Fowler is going to be in a completely different place next year because of the timing of when this all occurred. I mean, it wasn't that many months after Sindarik Marks tore his ACL.
Right. The things that we're talking about Sindarik going through in terms of this day-to-day feel that it's got, where he's out there and he's limited and he's working and then you're talking to him, all that's very day-to-day and out there because it's going on right now. In theory, at least, Dante should be going through that early next year, calendar year, at a more manageable, less pressurized pace.
Sure.
There'll be urgency to it because it's your first-round draft pick with an ACL, but...
When was that? May? That was May, right?
It was May, so...
Dante Fowler, by the start of next football season, should be 100% ready to go. Should be. I mean,
yeah.
I'm not knocking him if he's not, because maybe he'll have a medical setback or whatever, but just based on case
history
with
ACLs. There's a much higher
ACLs.
Percentage chance that all of this, I guess real-time return stuff we're going through with Senderic, for lack of a better way to put it, will be done with Dante in March, where it's not affecting game stuff. And then after all that happens, he'll have more time to strengthen, get back. So, yes, you would hope this would be much less of an issue with Fowler.
Your best educated guess from what you know, and we'll find out more when practice takes place. But Paul Posluszny, this week?
It's a guess based on circumstance, meaning he was trying to go last week. It seemed like he thought he was close, and it was a game time decision. I'd be surprised if he doesn't go this week, based on how close he seemed last week and the fact that it's Posluszny.
Got to have him because Arian Foster now should be more fully up to speed as well. He had the first game; he came back just a handful of touches,
yeah.
Had a lot, didn't quite have all his burst back, but now a week and a half to further prepare for the Jags, and
yeah.
You got to expect a heavy workload out of him.
And got to have him just because I think we talked about it Monday. For the first four games of this season, it was legitimately a strength where it felt like it was getting to one of those points. And we've all seen teams where when you go into a game, you're like, we're not going to be able to run on these guys. I don't think the Jaguars were quite at that point, but there were times it felt like it. And with a lack of a pass rush, you need something that the offense knows it can't do so that you can predict and so that you can play off of that.
All right, what are you writing about today? Blake with his press conference?
Yeah, obviously
midweek.
Blake with his shoulder and Posluszny and Senderic. I mean, that'll be the immediate 1 p.m. type stuff. And then, really talking to Blake and some of the offensive guys about, where this improvement's coming from and is it sustainable, that sort of thing. So those are the storylines, and got to get a win.
Get after it, Johnny O.
I'll be like a little beaver on there.
he's a Wolverine of sorts.
Wolverine is what I was looking for.
Probably. Okay. That's all right. We'll start at beaver. It's baby steps.
Why
man.
Not? Right.
Baby step. We're getting better. I see the improvement in you. It'll result in more wins, I'm sure, to follow very shortly. John Oger, Jaguars.com, senior writer on Twitter, @ John Oger. Thank you, buddy.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right. There he goes, Johnny O with his own O's. He'll be back later in the week, and we'll check in on some of the top storylines with the Jacksonville Jaguars with him. Coming up, this date in football, the Honda drive around the NFL. A little bit later on, Dr. Stephen Lucy from JOI stops by with your weekly injury report, and we'll get to the bottom of the kind of injury that Blake Bortles is dealing with and what that can mean for quarterbacks trying to play through that. All that coming up today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. 641-1010, the phone number if you'd like to get in. Also, the same number for the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line, asking you today, among other things, what is the biggest single thing missing from the Jags in their quest for more wins right now? Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
This date in football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. On this date, October 14th, 1990, Houston quarterback Warren Moon passed for 369 yards and 5 TDs as the Oilers beat Cincinnati 48-17, and Moon became the first person to throw for over 20,000 yards in two different professional leagues after passing for over 21,000 in his time in the Canadian Football League. Tony, Hall of Famer Warren Moon is and threw for 49,000 yards in the NFL despite not getting into the league until the age of 28, had a couple of 4,600-yard passing seasons as the highlight when he led the league in that category, although not a great touchdown-to-interception ratio, just about 1-to-1 there, and less than 60% completion percentage, but a Hall of Famer nonetheless was Warren Moon, inducted earlier this decade. As we scroll down and we take a look at birthdays for this date, 1947, Charlie Joyner, played him many a time in the backyard growing up watching the San Diego Air Coryell offense. He is a three-time Pro Bowler and a Hall of Famer, inducted in 1996. Born in the state in 1971, former Jaguar nemesis Frank Wycheck turns 44 today, three-time Pro Bowler as well. Happy birthday, Brandon Whedon. Go take a seat over there. All right, Brandon Whedon got benched. Matt Cassel, it appears, will start for the Dallas Cowboys coming out of the bye, but at least Whedon, well, hopefully he doesn't sleep in too late on his birthday, after his birthday celebration tonight. And then happy birthday to a former Jaguar, Justin Forsett, still going strong at the age of 30, has really found a little bit of the fountain of youth and really has had the best, I guess, year and a half of his career to this point. Had an excellent year last year, and his last couple outings for sure for the Baltimore Ravens, reminiscent of that production from last year. This date in football brought to you by Dr. McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry, located here on Gate Parkway. If you need cosmetic work done, or if you're in the market simply for a family dentist, Dr. McCall's office offers a 10% discount on all first-time customer initial visits and a certified Invisalign provider. And, of course, featuring the Somnomed Custom Fit Snore Guard, your loved ones will love you for it. 620-9225, the number, or visit jamesjmccall.com to get a complete list of comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Well, Mike, as you mentioned, change is coming for the Dallas Cowboys. They're on a bye this week, but story surfaced yesterday. As you mentioned, Matt Cassel expected to replace Brandon Whedon as the team's starting quarterback here after the bye week. There are a couple more changes reportedly being considered. Running back Kristen Michael may get the opportunity to replace Joseph Randall. Lyle Collins is expected to get the chance to start at left guard coming out of the break. And Randy Gregory also expected to be back after the bye. He suffered a high ankle sprain a couple of weeks ago. For the Pittsburgh Steelers, a couple pieces of news. Ben Roethlisberger plans to participate in 7-on-7 drills today. He also said that he wants to play this Sunday against the Arizona Cardinals, so Big Ben pushing to get onto the field. We'll see, obviously, how he feels after the workout today. And a cool story related to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Running back D'Angelo Williams has decided to dye part of his hair pink for the season. Why? His mother passed away last year after a battle with breast cancer. Williams has been asking the league since she passed if he could get an exemption to wear pink on his uniform every week. Seems like a reasonable request. The league, being the NFL, said no. Williams came up with his own solution, changing the color of his hair. The league doesn't have any rules against that. So kind of a cool story there.
Yeah, we're cool with it when we're marketing it, and we think it's the appropriate time to honor women who are fighting breast cancer. But outside of that window, we do not want to honor those women.
I mean, really, what's their issue with somebody who's dealt with that personally?
Just stick up the
right. I want to wear a pink towel every week because my mom died. Why does the league have any issue with that at all?
It's not uniform code. You're not adhering. You're not sublimating yourself to the Borg here. You must assimilate. Hey, look, D'Angelo Williams, like you said, I don't know if he dyed his hair. He's got some, like, pink braids, and he's got something in his hair that's pink.
Yeah.
And, you know, technically your hair is part of your uniform, as he pointed out, because you can be tackled by it. And he said he had scoured the rule book and found no particular regulation as to what he can do with his own hair.
Good
and
for him, man.
I cannot believe you wouldn't be allowed to make your hair any color you like. That's your hair. It's not your uniform. It's not what you're wearing. It's who you are. So good for D'Angelo Williams, who seems like an all-around pretty good guy and still getting it done. It got it done at a very high level, filling in for Le'Veon Bell early in the season. 641-1010 if you'd like to get on board. That's the way to do it. The Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line, also the phone-in line for you here. Let's see. Are you guys, this on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line, you guys concerned with the O-line this week, with the line not being very good and J.J. Watt and Clowney coming to town? That could be the biggest problem they face. Well, you know, Clowney, you don't want to make him a superstar this week. He's been relatively quiet all season. He's flashed a little bit last week against Indiana. He didn't make any real plays, but you could see the athleticism on display. You don't want this to be his breakout week. I mean, J.J. Watt is a load to deal with. The Jags gave up 6 sacks against the Buccaneers, who I don't think they're one of the most ferocious pass rushing squads out there. You got to figure you're going to throw the ball a bunch because that's been their M.O., And can you keep Blake Bortles protected, a less-than-healthy Blake Bortles? Or maybe, Tony, they try to really pound T.J. Yeldon, particularly early in this game, see if they have some success to take a little stress off Blake Bortles, not at 100% physically.
Sure. I mean, J.J. Watt has 4 sacks through 5 games, and it feels like he's having a down year. I mean, that's just the kind of player he is, though. He had a bad week last Thursday night against Indianapolis. Didn't flash a whole lot. Anytime you're going up against J.J. Watt, it has to be a concern how you're going to get it blocked up front. It's just part of it when you're going up against a guy that's been as good as J.J. Watt has been in the last handful of years. And as far as Jacksonville and they're preparing for it, yeah, the offensive line was bad against Tampa, but they were fine against Indianapolis. I mean, they've been good at times this year, and this goes back to the conversation we had when we came in on Monday. It's a moving target. And it's trying to figure out where the problem is going to be with this Jacksonville team on a week-to-week basis has been nearly impossible. I mean, we can talk about how bad they were against Tampa, and is that a concern? Of course it is. But they've been good in other weeks. They were really good against the run until they played the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Does that mean that Houston is going to run roughshod over this team? I don't think so. You know, I don't think that Houston's going to be able to do that. But trying to determine where the leak is going to be this week for this football team is impossible. The most likely spot would seem the offensive line because of how good J.J. Watt is.
I mean, really, last week, if you just cut down on some of the running of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, right, and didn't let them go nuts, and not just some of the production, shall I say, out of the running backs. Now, whether that's all Paul Posluszny not being in there or not, you win that game easily, even with all the other mistakes that went on and the points you gave up, if you just limit them somewhat in the running game. So the hope is if you get Paul Posluszny back, maybe you could do that against Houston. Maybe Brian Hoyer won't be able to take advantage of you, although Brian Hoyer to DeAndre Hopkins scares me more than Jameis Winston to anybody at this stage of their respective careers. I know Hoyer played terribly against the Jags last year, but he's one of those guys that's hot and cold streaky, right? I mean, we've seen it. He came off the bench and threw for over 300 yards off the bench against Indianapolis last week. So he's capable of getting hot. And right now, DeAndre Hopkins is playing pretty much as well as any wide receiver in the National Football League, period.
Yes, he is. So, I mean, Hopkins is hot. They're on the offensive side of the ball, so there's certainly going to be some matchups there that'll be fun to watch. Look, Devon House has been really good, I think, for the last couple weeks. He had the bogus pass interference called against him against Indianapolis. I still don't think that's a foul, but the flag got thrown, so they gave up the first down down there inside. I think he did a pretty good job against T.Y. Hilton a couple weeks ago. He did a really good job this past weekend against Mike Evans, and it's why they brought him in, is so that when they have matchups like this against DeAndre Hopkins and these caliber guys, to feel comfortable with Devon House out there on an island with that guy. And I think he's given you reasons to feel okay about that matchup going into this weekend's game. Of course, like I just said, the fact that I feel okay about it doesn't mean that DeAndre Hopkins isn't going to catch 11 passes for 180 yards.
No, this is the most formidable test that he's had. And you may be right that he's able to handle it, but it is definitely a step up in class, even from T.Y. Hilton, in my opinion, this year. Mike Evans really hasn't gotten going yet this year, but he did a nice job against it. We got Josh calling in from Washington, D.C., so let's try to get him in on this side of the break, if we could, Tyler. Hello, Josh. How are you?
Hey, Mike. What's up? A quick question for you. I just don't understand how we can be, $30 million under the cap yet, still have a mediocre bottom end of the roster. Isn't that on Dave Caldwell? I mean, wasn't he given all the resources to assemble a good squad? So I just don't like the fact that people are giving him a pass because of all these injuries. You know,
go ahead, finish your point. I'm sorry.
We could have re-signed JT Thomas. We could have had Evan Mathis. I mean, you know, there was a whole world of players that we could have signed to make our roster more competitive at the bottom end, and he didn't do it.
Gotcha. Okay. Josh, thank you for the call. There's so many levels to this right now. We've talked about JT Thomas in the past. Was JT Thomas, who would have been coming in here as a backup player, worth $4 million a year? I mean, you have the money, so you can argue, heck, he could have spent it, and what's the repercussion on it? You're at $4 million,
right,
but it doesn't impact your ability to compete anywhere else. So I get that. Look, I think people have a wish list in free agency every year, and sometimes it's after the fact. I don't know how many people were all that upset about JT Thomas going. I remember we noted it at the time, Tony, but we also noted that's a pretty good contract that he got from the New York Giants. And
yeah,
quite frankly, through 5 games, he's made 13 tackles. Okay, he hasn't been a major force for that defense at this point in time. He was a solid guy for the Jags. I will not deny that they could have used him, particularly this week with Posluszny out. No question about it. I had a text in or a tweet in this morning, I can't remember which, was talking about why didn't we go after Macklin or D-Jax, or why didn't we sign Emmanuel Sanders. Emmanuel Sanders would be the one I think that would bother me more, because at the time you didn't know what you had. And here was a guy who had done something in the league. I think you felt coming into this year, even though Jeremy Macklin was out there in free agency, you liked your young receivers. And I think Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns are starting to show you why. I mean, I don't think you can't knock their production. What they've done, they're arguably, they may be the most productive duo statistically in the National Football League through 5 weeks. I can't think of another one off the top of my head. I may be missing somebody, but. And then, look, people
maybe
say
Thomas and Sanders in Denver. I don't know what their numbers are.
I really don't know if that's the case, because that offense has been up and down. But regardless, maybe there are a couple of examples that are in there. But they're among the better tandems statistically this year. And I know a lot of people are saying, hey, is it time to move on from Marquise Lee? No, you can't. You're not going to move on. This guy has talent. And yes, you're frustrated, and everyone's frustrated. I'm sure he's frustrated. The coaches are frustrated that he can't stay on the field. But you come into this offseason with him healthy, Tony. You don't anticipate. You don't sit there and go, well, Marquise Lee is going to get hurt again. You can't think that way. You have to say, well, he's healthy now. We drafted him more highly than any of these other guys. We expect a lot out of him. And if he were in there right now, and Julius Thomas, who's now back, and the four of them with Robinson and Hurns, that's a pretty nice set of skill position guys based on what we've seen Robinson and Hurns do at this point. Clearly, he's not there. I get it. He's injury prone, and has shown to be up until this point. But I don't fault him as much for not going after wide receiver, because I think you look up and you say, hey, these guys are producing at a pretty good clip right now.
No, they're playing well, but look, we had questions about what this linebacker core was going to be from the moment that we thought we knew what the roster was going to look
like.
I mean, there's been questions about what the linebacker position was going to look like, especially it was the one position that when we talked about where can they least afford to have an injury, it was linebacker. And they happened to have lost their middle linebacker. And you saw the result of that this week. They decided to part ways with Jeremiah George when they made the 53-man roster. They cut Leroy Reynolds because Marquise Lee, at the end of a week, couldn't go. I mean, that's the bottom line, is the reason that guy wasn't in the game instead of Armbrister this past weekend. So, look, they got issues at linebacker, and they got to find a way to answer those questions.
All right, we got to take a timeout. 641-1010 if you'd like to get on board. Wednesday's brought to you by Metro Rooter. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Jaguars Today continues along a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, live at Everbank on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Ron O'Halloran in tomorrow. Hopefully David Garrard on Friday. We'll see. He was busy today, so we'll see if he's able to make it in to close out the week as we get ready for the Jags and the Houston Texans this Sunday. Of course, you'll get all the pregame, game, and postgame coverage right here on your flagship home for the Jacksonville Jaguars, 1010XL, 92.5 FM. One other thing about cap space, Tony, and we're running short on time on the other side of the break, but this team has brought in John Idzik in part to help them, you know, plan for the future financially, right? And kind of be a capologist, in-house guy to really stay abreast of all these things. And I think one of the things that he has to deal with, and Dave Caldwell has to deal with as they plot out how much money to spend, is they're looking at this roster, which everyone feels, oh, wow, there's, you know, it's very young. We know that. And, you know, look, some of the feedback I get from Jag fans is very excited. I don't want to give you the impression that everyone is doom and gloom. That's certainly not the case. But you've got Blake Bortles. You've got Allen Robinson. You've got Allen Hurns. Got some young guys. You have your first draft class, which will be coming up for new contracts shortly. They'll have one more year on their deals. So you've got, with as young a team as you have, the idea of keeping them all together means a lot of these guys are going to come up for contract extensions at the same time.
Yep.
So you've got a plan for the future. Now, that doesn't mean they couldn't assign JT Thomas. Okay.
No.
They could have gone out there. I'm not trying to make an excuse. I'm just saying that's one part of the recipe that you've got to factor in. And, you know, Dave Caldwell's a guy who believes, I'm not going to pay more than a guy's worth. no matter how much cap space I have, I'm not going to pay more than a guy's worth. I think sometimes maybe you do need to overspend a little bit if you've got a particular need to get some depth, because I agree. I mean, we knew the linebacker situation was tenuous, and we talked about that during the year. It was probably the position group that they could least afford major injuries in. And let's hope for Paul Posluszny it's a one-game absence, and that's it, and these guys stay healthy the rest of the way. But it's definitely frustrating, I think, for fans to think that it could have been guys, and one guy in particular in-house with JT Thomas. The question is, at the time, how would you have felt if they said, well, JT Thomas is going to back up Dan Scuda here and or be the primary backup, and we're paying him $12 million to do it? Maybe you wouldn't have cared. I don't know. I'm just asking that question to think about it at the time. And, you know, again, you look at free agency. I'm not opposed to bringing in guys, okay? Julius Thomas, we expect a big impact out of him. Definitely wanted to get Devin McCourty and Randall Cobb had they made it truly beyond their teams instead of re-upping with New England and Green Bay. And the Jags were very interested as well. But for all of those guys, you got to look at how many guys get big money in free agency and simply don't pan out. I know a lot of people said pay Ndamukong Suh, doesn't matter how much you pay him. He is worth anything you pay him. He's that kind of difference maker. Well, Mike Tannenbaum had to come out yesterday, excuse me, on his own radio show and admit, nope, hasn't been what we expected. Now we're only five games in. We're not writing off Ndamukong Suh. He signed a long-term contract with us here, and we hope there's many bright spots in the future. But he goes, if I'm being honest with you, no. He hasn't played as nearly as well as we'd want him to. And, you know, so everything looks bright, shiny, and new when you throw a bunch of cash at it. You got to throw a bunch of cash at the right guys. And I think it's sometimes in hindsight you look back and you say, well, they could have had this guy because look what he's doing now. I don't know if anyone expected Emmanuel Sanders to be as good as he was when he went to Denver, for instance, right? And I don't know what he was asking for here. Maybe they should have signed him because he had some level of success in the league. I don't think had he been here for the last couple of years, we would be thinking of Emmanuel Sanders in the same breath as we would Jeremy Maclin, because he had the benefit of playing in an offense that at least at times had a record-setting, you know, historic-type quarterback leading it to a high degree of efficiency.
Look, I think there's a hindsight thing here with guys that teams let walk. I think there's something to the JT Thomas situation here in Jacksonville, because that is a guy who clearly they felt comfortable with. He was productive as a player when he was asked to be on the field last year. He had to play all three linebacker positions.
Right.
And he was fine backing up all three. And he was pretty good as the middle linebacker when they asked him to do that. He was pretty good as the auto when they asked him to do that. I think there's some value to that.
I agree. I'm not disagreeing with that.
So maybe they should have been willing to spend that money to keep a guy like JT Thomas. Maybe they should have been. I think with other guys, you reach a little bit. You know, the problem with Miami and the money they spent on Ndamukong Suh is that they brought in Suh, paid him all that money, and then asked him to not be Ndamukong Suh. They asked him to do something that what has made Suh great in this league is not what Miami's asking him to do in that defense. If you're going to go spend that kind of money on a guy, you need to make sure you're bringing him in and that he's going to be comfortable with what you're going to be asking him to do. Let him be him. You know,
that's why you're signing him, right?
Right.
It's got to go back to Bryce Paul with the Jaguars.
Exactly. You got to let that guy be that guy. And I think that's why the Dan Scuda signing works for me. It's why the Parnell signing works for me. It's why the Julius Thomas signing works for me. And it's why keeping a guy like JT Thomas makes a lot of sense, because he's clearly a guy that is comfortable with what you're going to ask him to do in this defense and is comfortable backing up all three positions if that's what you are going to ask him to do. And I think for a team that has as much money as the Jaguars do, that I would have been fine with them paying JT Thomas that kind of money. There would have been a little bit of an eyebrow raising, like, really, you're going to pay this guy starter money? But when you got into the season and you saw the situation playing out, you'd be like, thank goodness they paid JT Thomas. I mean, it's if they can afford to do it and it's a short-term deal, just like it is up there in New York, basically, where it's not going to handcuff them when it comes time to when they have to sign all these other young guys at the same time, that feels like an opportunity that they let slip through their fingers right now.
I agree. But there's a lot of cap space that's sitting out there. And I understand you've got a plan for the future. But I would assume every team in the NFL to some degree is planning for their future. And not everybody sits on the pile of cash that they have. And I think it's a legitimate frustration for some Jag fans out
sure.
there, without question. Let's see. Here's, a counterpoint on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. We were talking about wide receivers. The wide receivers weren't producing against Carolina or Indy, and you can't count on Lee going forward. Oh, wait a minute. Didn't Alan Hearns set his career high at the time with 116 yards against Indy on 11 catches?
11-115 for a touchdown against Indianapolis.
I would say that's – and, you know, Allen Robinson didn't have – not you're not going to have 200-yard receivers every week.
That's
between the two of them, they had about 200 yards receiving. That's pretty productive. And then they went on to say junk time stats and against Tampa Bay defense are deceiving. We still need a field stretcher, even though the defense is obviously glaring. The only junk time they've had this season is against New England. And that's the only garbage time that they've played in. Every other game has been meaningful football, including Allen Hurns. And people say, oh, you know, he caught that big one against the Bucs late, as if it doesn't count. I mean, it was still we've seen games with less time on the clock be won from two touchdowns down. So was it a bit of a wing and a prayer? I think Logman described it that way yesterday. Absolutely. Sure it was. That was a big play. I think Allen Hurns has shown he's a pretty good wide receiver. I'm not saying they couldn't be even better. Obviously, they went out and tried to get Randall Cobb. They wanted to get better.
Sure.
But they I guess, didn't feel – they felt probably that Cobb was going to play the slot. You're going to have two outside guys. Cobb's going to play the slot. And that's a fit with the development that they see from these other guys. Macklin's not that guy. He's going to take time away from one of the guys that's currently producing for you.
Look, I agree that they probably still need a deep threat. Like, that's something that neither one of those guys, I think, is exceptional at.
Although, I'll say this, Robinson's getting behind some secondary.
Well, and Allen Hurns does, too. And that's kind of the thing. When you look at their catch average, Allen Hurns is averaging 15.9 a catch. In 2015, Allen Robinson is 18.3. Those are big numbers.
That's a huge 18.3 is a huge number.
Right. To compare that to the leading receiver in the league, DeAndre Hopkins, who has 578 yards this year, he's at 13.8 a catch.
A lot more volume, right. And there's no question he's a deep threat.
Right. To give you an idea, the seven guys ahead of Allen Hurns on the receiving list this year, none of them, with the exception of A.J. Green, who's at 16.0, is averaging 15 yards a catch this year. They're making plays downfield, both these guys. Now, I still think they need a guy that is true blue speed on the outside that can make a difference for them in what they want to do with both those guys, because Hurns is just so reliable over the middle part of the field right now. I think having him in the slot would be unbelievable for this football team right now. They just don't have that luxury with the options that are available to them. So I agree that there is something else that they can add to this passing game going forward and may help the production of all three guys involved when everything is said and done. But to say that they weren't productive against Indianapolis, look, the offense as a whole didn't get into the end zone. They didn't score points the way they needed to. But that doesn't mean that it's on Allen Hurns and Allen Robinson that those things didn't happen. Other things went wrong for them in that football game that prevented those numbers from being even better.
All right, let's step aside for a moment here on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Glad you're along with us. Actually, you know what? We'll take them on the other side. Jim and Austin on the line, if you guys want to hang on, we'll get your calls in coming up here shortly as Jaguars Today rolls on this Metro Rooter Wednesday. We'll also talk with Dr. Stephen Lucy from Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute as we get the latest on Blake Bortles, or at least what he is dealing with as he attempts to play through a shoulder issue this week. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you live at Everbank. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Welcome our next guest to the Metro Diner Chat Counter.
These are delicious!
On 1010XL, Metro Diner, where the locals eat.
All right, we'll go to the Metro Diner Chat Counter in a moment. Welcome in Dr. Stephen Lucy from Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute with your weekly injury report. Let's get a couple of quick calls in here before we do that at 641-1010. Jim, thank you for hanging on. Welcome to Jaguars Today. What's up?
Hey, Mike. Listen, I did want to say, I thank you and Tony for bringing a kind of a dose of sanity to this. I mean, the postgame was, you know, a lot of passion and everything else, but you know, stupidity with passion is still stupidity, because it was exemplified by the guy that said, we need to cut Chad Henne. But
that was a good one, I got to say, on Monday. Out of all the issues,
Chad Henne's the one problem. But I did want to say one thing. This is a perspective that most people don't know. In 1996, the Jags got their butts kicked in Pittsburgh. They were 4-7, and David Lamb wrote an article in Times Union that said, This is a very, very bad football team. They're not going anywhere. They're not doing anything. Well, his Lamb rant this way basically said the same thing. In 96, the Jags won the next five games to make the playoffs. So there is maybe a trend that'll start. David started it early this year and didn't wait till they were 4-7. That's the only hope we have.
All right. Well, I mean, look, I'm not saying don't cling to hope, man, but that's what that is, basically. That was a lightning in a bottle type situation. As you look back now, you realize how truly talented that team was.
Sure.
And they were just and maybe this team will turn out to be that way, too.
I'll tell you right now, I'll take 3-3 in the next six in a freaking heartbeat. Get me to 4-7,
yeah.
Please.
Get us to 4-7. Then let's talk about the parallels. But, you know, you look back at Pacelli and Burnell, who was a multi-time Pro Bowler, and Jimmy Smith, who's a borderline Hall of Famer, you know, and Keenan and you know, he had a lot of talent on that team. We're just talking about the tip-top guys there. But,
sure.
You know, and it was young, and it came together.
There's young hope on this team.
There is young hope on this team. I don't know if they've got, you know, who knows? Their careers need to play out. There's no telling where Blake Bortles goes compared to Mark Brunell. I think certainly he's got a chance to be the greatest quarterback in Jaguar history. He's got a very good chance at that. I think it's going to be tough to knock Jimmy Smith off the top perch, but
yeah.
That doesn't mean Robinson and Hearns can't be among the better receivers the Jags have ever had. You know, I don't see a burgeoning Tony Pacelli on this roster, but regardless, hey, look, keep hope alive, man. We're not trying to squash hope. We're just trying to be realistic on both sides, you know, the good and the bad. You gotta be if you're being honest with the listening audience. And let's get Austin in here at the beaches up next on Jaguars Today. Hi, Austin. How are you?
All right. How you guys doing?
Good. What's up?
Well, I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller, but I just want to comment, you know, what I think would make this team better. The previous caller, Chris, he said the Jags are missing attitude, which
yes.
I think is true. The team's missing attitude and identity. You guys said they're missing a veteran, which is also true. I don't know why we don't bring in both. How about, you know, the Jags bring in a veteran that brings with him an attitude and identity, plus not only those things, but is also, you know, a proven winner that has voiced desire to come to Jacksonville. He said on national TV, and I'm quoting him here, I'd love to come to a team like the Jaguars. I tell you, there's something special getting ready to happen in Jacksonville between the new owner, a young team, and a new energized young fan base that calls themselves hooligans. And you know I like that. He said, with the right system and the right leader, sky's the limit. That veteran that has led two different teams, you know, both that sucked before he got there, in his third year, both of them to the Super Bowl and won one of the Super Bowls, but he's not a player. He's a coach. John Gruden, Chucky. I just don't understand why they don't go. And I understand that it sucks for Blake to, you know, have yet another system to learn, but Gruden's a quarterback coach. You know, I don't know. That's just my.
All right. You know. Look, for one thing, John.
I was
John,
very worried John, about that call.
I didn't know. I thought he was going to go T.O. I honestly did. I was trying to guess who he talking about.
I had Tebow in my head for most of that call.
Well,
I was like, okay. And then I switched to T.O., and then I was like, T.O. is not as bad as Tebow. And then I was like, okay, Gruden, which is never going to happen because he's getting paid millions of dollars to not coach.
Well, let me tell you this. And Gruden could join some of the Jaguar media because he can pump the sunshine with the best of them.
My goodness.
So he's going to tell you nothing but good every time you hear him talk. He's the highest paid on-air personality at ESPN. He has the cushiest job. He works 17 weeks a year. Are you kidding me? I don't think he's leaving the booth. He's not leaving the booth to come to Jacksonville, Florida. You can make a run at him all you like. It's not happening.
I love this guy, Blake Bortles, man.
He does have an attitude. That's certainly that. Let's welcome in Dr. Stephen Lucy, one of 31 physicians at Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the exclusive sports medicine providers of your Jacksonville Jaguars. JOI is Jacksonville's Orthopedic Institute. Dr. Lucy, how are you?
Good, good.
Sprained AC joint, right? That's what we're dealing with for Blake Bortles?
That seems to be the case.
Okay. Obviously, there are degrees of severity with any injury, right? But how challenging is it for a quarterback to play with this type of injury?
Well, first of all, let me explain the difference because people get confused with this. This is the old shoulder separation versus a shoulder dislocation. A shoulder dislocation is when the ball pops out of the socket. If you reach up and feel the top of your shoulder, most of us will feel a little bump up there. That's the end of your collarbone, and that's your AC joint. it seems like quarterbacks and wide receivers get wrapped up and get their shoulders driven into the ground quite a bit. And they have the most of these shoulder separations. And that shoulder separates the shoulder, the whole shoulder joint separates a bit from the clavicle. In the case of Blake, it's a mild one. Some of them are what we call second degree, where they're partially dislocated. And the third to fifth degree are where they're completely dislocated. The first ones are painful, but you can get over them in a week or two. So it's a matter of, you know, a little Advil, ice, rehab, and then pain tolerance, because most guys just have to be able to take a hit. The quarterback's got to be able to take a hit and throw the ball accurately.
So it's mostly, it shouldn't affect, in most cases, we're not asking you specifically that can it ever possibly affect, but generally, it's not going to affect mechanics. This is more if you can deal with it. And mentally, right, and deal with the pain, you can play through it.
Oh, I think it will. I think it can definitely affect mechanics if your shoulder is hurting, and you know, this is your throwing shoulder, and you start making a little adjustment to get over the pain. Absolutely. But that's the thing that coaches have got to watch for in the practice field is he delivering the ball? Because as we've learned, windows are small in this league, and pick sixes come quite easily.
Yes, they can, Dr. Lucy. We're hoping to have Paul Posluszny back this week. Based on the type of injury he suffered, would you be surprised if he missed another week, or is it case-by-case basis?
No, these high ankle sprains are typically 3 to 6 weekers. You know, they take a good bit longer than the regular ankle sprains. But again, like we just talked about, there are variations of that. These elite athletes get over the injuries quicker. Paul is a tough guy, and it wouldn't surprise me if he gives it a go this week, but it would also wouldn't surprise me if he couldn't wait till next week.
I believe Gus Bradley said it's not your typical high ankle sprain. It seemed to indicate that the severity wasn't. When you hear a high ankle sprain, we're usually conditioned now to think it's going to be a month to a month and a half with
exactly,
these kind of things.
Exactly.
All right, Dr. Stephen Lucy, let's keep him healthy this week.
I hope so.
All right, with Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, one of the 31 physicians there, the exclusive sports medicine providers of your Jacksonville Jaguars. JOI is Jacksonville's Orthopedic Institute. Doc, good to see you.
Good to be back.
All right, there he goes. We'll see you next Wednesday. Your weekly look at the injury report with Dr. Stephen Lucy from Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute. Today, Tony, fan feedback spotlight, asking folks what's the one big thing missing from the Jags in their quest for more wins, and what kind of answers did we get on that?
Here's what we got from Matt. Quarterback pressure sacks hasn't happened since Tony Brackens. From Dusty, pass rush, pass rush, pass rush, pass rush, find something that works. They must affect the quarterback. From Chris, tackling. From Paolo, the opposing quarterback needs to fear our defensive line. Sack, sack, sacks. From Duval Doom, absolutely pass rush. Quarterbacks have all day. Thin hope Marks can still help. But from Daniel, Julius Thomas touchdowns. That's what he's here for, yet we keep throwing to Lewis. From Eric, consistent pass rush. Where is it? Will it ever show up? From Joey, experienced talent. What little talent they have is very young. It'll get better. From Union Jack's Joe, consistent, reliable pass rush that oppositions have to worry about. From Cristiano, defensive playmakers. From Brian, the pass rush. From Demetrius, urgency, as in it's a privilege to be where I'm at and I can get replaced, urgency. Not many are safe on a 1-4 roster. From Bill, consistency is the biggest thing missing in my mind, which falls on the coaches and the players. From Adam, coaching is the biggest thing. Fire our players need to be developed. Olsen has been great for Bortles. Hashtag fire Gus. From Black Dog, missing the unstoppable run from Fred Taylor, MJD, Natron Means, and James Stewart. From Ocho Fisho, as you mentioned earlier, Mike, the support of the paying customer. From John, consistent positive play on the lines of scrimmage, defensive line, and offensive line. From Jeff, healthy players would help, along with more consistency from all three phases. And from Doc G, biggest thing is refusing to lose because you hate it, or you're afraid of it, or you're inspired not to. Hashtag the paying customer.
The paying customer, baby. Don't you say that on Tuesdays, however. Joshua went with trench warfare. No push up front in the running game is killing our offense. No pass rush on defense. Just as aggravating, win the battle at the line of scrimmage. You might see more wins. William Clay Andrews. These are from the Facebook page. A good head coach. Chad Cox, solid offense and defensive lines. Steve Muncy went with pass rush as well. Daniel Stewart with a reliable field goal kicker. David Dryden simply said players. Steve Perkins said heart. Douglas Pelsey said we're just missing the part at the end where our score is higher. Hashtag gotta finish. That's clever. Bob Oakes, Dante Fowler, and then several of these people the one word I thought of is simply consistency, right? If you if you're making the same mistakes over and over, you had the same deficiencies and you knew you couldn't do better in some areas, you learned to live with it and you learned to game plan around it, Tony. But week to week, this is the most disturbing thing. Okay, the offense, we're happy about the offense right now. Were we happy when they put up 13 points against Indy, right? Were we happy when they were down 30-3 against New England and they got buried? And sure, they got a couple of second half touchdowns. So it's been a moving target. And that to me is the thing. Consistency. Run defense solid. Posluszny goes out, boom, and they get it shoved down their throat all day long. So week to week, which area of the team is going to show up and perform well, which area of the team is going to struggle, has been a bit of a moving target. That includes special teams, offense, and defense all the way around. So for me, that is the biggest missing ingredient. Consistency, I do think the talent's better. I do think they're more competitive. But ultimately, you're going to get judged on wins and losses, and the way to get that is get more consistent play, in my opinion, more consistently good play, in my opinion. How about that? All right, that's going to do it for us on this Wednesday. You said pass rush earlier, Tony, right?
Yes, I did.
So, look, I don't disagree. They need more pass rush. That's part of it, for sure. And I like you, don't know if there are any answers in-house waiting to fix that this year. Metro Rooter brings you the show every Wednesday for all size plumbing jobs, in-home, your business, industrial plumbing, you name it. Metro Rooter has the solution for you. MetroRooter.com or call 695-1911. By the way, the fan feedback spotlight brought to you every day by our friends at the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships. Thanks to John Osier for stopping by today and Dr. Stephen Lucy from JOI with your weekly injury report. That does it for us. XL Primetime coming up next right here on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
Now, Duval, give me two claps and a Rick Flap.
Woo! That's great, J.